Hello everyone. Thank you for inviting me today to speak to you. And I'm so sorry to be second to last on a long day. I hope you can manage, wave if you're about to faint or something. Anyway, I'm going to talk about Stockholm University Press. And I am an analyst, so I'm not actually a librarian. I'm also a managing editor for the press. I'm also a pedagogue, so I do use all of these skills that I have to help the press as much as I can. I'm going to talk to you today about how we founded the press, why we did this. I'm going to talk about it in relation to the university and the structure of the university as a whole. I'm going to talk to you about the researcher involvement that we are working on, because we are not always the best persons to decide things. And I'm going to talk to you about the key drivers for what we're doing and also the lessons learned, very important. Stockholm University Press was founded in 2013 by a decision made by the University Chancellor, the Vice Chancellor of Stockholm University. He wanted an open access press with affordable publication costs, because we saw already back then, 3 years ago, that the publication costs were increasing to a rate that we were not very happy with. It was also important that it was peer reviewed, that we had some kind of quality assessment setting. So that was a task, and it was given to the library to handle. And also it was because a lot of our researchers didn't find any home for their research, and it was important for us to make sure that what we did at Stockholm University gave the researchers a proper merit. At the moment we have published 6 books, so we're not as far along as the UCL Press, who we have had discussions with. We are, you know, in a similar environment. 3 more are in production and coming out soon. We have 4 journals so far, 1 more underway. All of this is run by 6 people approximately in the library. Very few of us work actually full-time with the press. We're also involved in other activities in the library connected to scholarly communication or publication. That's really important for us, because we are trying to integrate what we do in the rest of the university. I'm going to come back to that. Everything we do is fully open access. We don't do anything else. We don't pay royalties to authors, similar to UCL Press. We didn't see that we could manage that. So that's basically what we do. And everything we do is on this platform. And this tagline, peer-reviewed research without borders, it actually has a meaning. We don't want to set too many boundaries. We want to make sure that we do this on somebody else's terms and not our own. But I'm going to come back to that as well. So, Stockholm University. Well, I come from a small country. We don't have as much research output as the UK researchers, for example. The university itself was founded in 1878. We had 3 principles when founding this university. It was openness, accessibility, and a connection to the society already then. And these 3 principles are still really important for us. And those are also trickled down through to the press that we're working on. We have about 70,000 students at our university, about 1,800 PhD students currently enrolled. This varies, of course. It's about 5,000 staff, of which 3,500 are faculty or researchers, if you may. Most of our student body is humanities and social sciences, almost 80%. But if you look at the researchers or the PhD students, they are about half-half between humanities and social science and science. So the science part is really research-heavy, while the humanities and social sciences are very teaching-heavy. And this also, of course, has an influence on how we do things. The rest of the strategies you can see on the screen, they're until 2018. We want to do fundamental research. Nevertheless, we do have some world-leading centers like Stockholm Resilience Centre, for example, is connected to Stockholm University. We want to be a modern university but still have some traditional academic values, hopefully the positive part of those. And also we are very, as a small country, it's very important for us to nurture the international collaboration, to grow together by learning from each other's differences and where we are alike. Also, I was looking at the output because Paul showed us so many wonderful numbers. I got a bit curious. And our research has put out around 3,000 articles per year, peer-reviewed articles. And about 94 books or book chapters or conference papers come out. This is due to the national statistics of publishing. Yes, we are a very teaching-heavy university, and that should also be taken in consideration when looking at the results of what we do. So, what about the library then? So this is the whole university, big university, lots of students, but what does the library do, and how does this work publishing thing come around, and why? Well, we see ourselves as a part or a facilitator of you, if you may. We see ourselves as having two major tasks. One is information supply. We take information from the world and package it and delivers it to our students and researchers. The other task is publishing support, because also all that, you know, accumulated knowledge, we sort of see it as we have an obligation to help people put it out as well. And this can include a lot of things. It could include Stockholm University Press, but also other things like printing dissertations or helping PhD students getting published. We also teach publishing or research communication. I'm a part of that. I do a lot of that as well. And keep databases about publishing so we can analyze our output and what happens with it and all that. So we see ourselves as having these two major roles and being kind of the facilitator of this. And we also provide, of course, an infrastructure for all this, because that's really important. Okay. So this is the library, the university. Okay, what happens then? Then I was talking about this involvement with researchers, right? That sounds really promising and important. And yes, it is. And we see ourselves as a part of a whole. So I'm not sure if it's visible on screen, but it's a globe in the background. So we see ourselves as a part of the world, of course, which Stockholm University is a part of. The library is a part of that, and the press is also a part of that. And we see ourselves as, you know, providing, as I said, the infrastructure, but with input from administration of the rest of the university management, the editorial board members, I'm going to talk about that, who they are. But we also see ourselves as being the connector between external reviewers, doing this quality assessment that we talk so much about. So we see ourselves as bringing all these pieces together, which we hope we can do. And Janet was also talking about that earlier, that this being a part of a structure and a strategy for libraries now is to do this output. And we think we can only do that if we see ourselves as a part of the whole and not somebody who should do everything ourselves. We believe in collaboration. And this is why we have built this working structure. You can see it as a kind of a nice little cake where you have different parts that contribute to something. And the author, of course, in this case, is a very lonely little person. They are not always lonely, I hope. But we are thinking that they provide sort of the input that we are supposed to evaluate. And then we use the editorial board, in this case shown as a group. They are experts in their field, maybe with experience from publishing themselves, being senior faculty, and they handle the quality assessment. So the author and the editorial board kind of collaborate. We also have a piece of the cake called the library staff for Stockholm University Press. We see ourselves as the facilitator between all this. We do the strategies, the groundwork, providing platforms, communicating with people, teaching people how to use the platforms, really important. But we also have a part of the cake called the publishing committee. And this committee is established because we wanted to emphasize that it's not the publisher that should decide whether or not something is of high quality, because we don't know. Okay, I'm a master's student in education, but that doesn't mean that I can say that all educational papers or books are good or not good. We also, I hope it's okay, Stella. We also want to make sure that the books we put out aren't necessarily the product of a marketing survey or an idea of what would sell well, because we want to produce literature or journal articles that we think that researchers actually have useful. And the publishing committee is a part of that paradigm, because they're senior faculty, one from each faculty at Stockholm University. We have humanities, social sciences, law, natural sciences. We also have a representative from the ethics committee. And they are looking at each peer review process for books especially, but also for the journals, making sure that they follow the protocol, making sure that they have actually used to external reviewers, which we also think are very important. In this case, they are kind of readers and users, because we also think that the peer reviewer are a reader of something and giving comments back and being sort of a part of the interaction in the cake. And this is why I think we can say that we are actually governed by researchers, because we as a publisher are not making the decisions. The editorial boards make the recommendations to the publishing committee, who says, yeah, this is great, let's do a book. Let's know, well, you know, this reviewer was actually having a point about this title. It's not a good idea. But it is their expertise that helps improve the quality of what we put out. And also see a part of the cake, it's also called the Ubiquity Partner Network. So we have a service agreement with a publisher called Ubiquity Press. So they handle quite a lot of our infrastructure, because they're better at it, actually. We're not as good on technology as they are. They have a development team and they work actively with these things. So we do what we are best at, and that's maybe doing the administration of this whole thing. But the Ubiquity Partner Network could also help us, especially in the quality assessment part. Right now I'm working on a project together with Open Library of Humanities, who are celebrating their first year anniversary this week. To find networks to do this quality control, because we don't want our quality control to be done at Stockholm University. As we said, one of our driving strategies is to collaborate internationally, and we also think that's the best way of evaluating our output is on an international arena where we can talk to each other. So we also make use of this network in several ways, and we think that this forms a delicious cake. Let's hope everybody else thinks so as well. I will also like to say that all of this is also governed by ethical guidelines. We are using the Committee of Publication Ethics guidelines. For journals, they're pretty straightforward, but we have done an adapted version for books that's pretty much the same. Sort of principles for peer review, principles for best practices for editors, all of that are governed by something that has a proven practice on an international level. And that's really important for us. So a big part of my job is to teach our editors and authors and reviewers to use those guidelines and what they mean. Okay, structure, really important. But what do we do then? What's the core of what we do? Well, I've worked for 10 years in the publishing business, so I'm really into this kind of the actual product. I love to talk to editors, I love to do strategies for journals and books. So this is one of our journals, it's called Rural Landscapes. It's a rather niche title, as you can see, and what we provide for them, we don't do the content, we don't do their editorial meetings, they handle that themselves, but what we provide is the platform, a set platform that they can use, they put in their content, and we help them to. Some of them want to convert to online publishing. That's quite hard. They're still thinking about their print product. We want to help them do that. How do you communicate digitally, for example? How do do we make people read our articles when we don't send it to them in their postbox? So this is really important to build this platform. It's OJS technology, so it's the basic OJS platform, but with slight enhancements from Ubiquiti, very good team. Another really important thing is indexing to end up in the right databases. DOAJ, for example, is one of the most important databases. It's our first goal to reach those databases. All our journals, for example, are set up according to the DOAJ structure. So we go through that with our editors point by point to make sure they understand why we do this. We also help them with marketing, of course, setting up social media accounts, that sort of thing. The articles themselves is pretty easy to use. They come in different formats. Everything is XML coded, metadata standard coded. And it only takes one click to read. You can download PDFs as well, but that's not necessary if you don't want to. But one important thing is that we need to be clear about what we do. So we have proper information, proper publication dates. We tell all the content is peer-reviewed. We use a CC BY 4.0 license. Somebody was very kind to explain that earlier today, so I don't have to do that. But we also openly show usage statistics straight away. We think that's really important. So the whole package is there. This is, of course, is not for free. There are no free lunches. The library doesn't charge anything for this strategic service. However, our provider does charge a small fee, which is about 360 euros or £300, somewhere in that, depending on currency conversion, per article, that is. It's a flat fee that we negotiate as a library. We have a little bit more power than the editors. And it's easy to calculate budgets, because we also need to help the editors to find funding for this. Small journals, newly started, not a good idea to start with a hefty publication fee. Even if £300 is considerably lower than what most commercial publishers do, it's still money, and it needs to come from somewhere. So we help editors to apply for funding, for example, to reduce or completely remove this author publishing charge. And that's, of course, also part of the strategy. And for this journal, for example, we have a little bit of diverse funding. So the Swedish Research Council chipped in with some money. The Human Geography Department, where the editor is based, also chipped in with some money. And then we also have a Nordic Publication Committee, or Nordic Committee for Dissemination of Research in the Humanities and Social Sciences. It has a small journal grant. So all these little pieces come together and helps the editors to pay these APC. But we have other modules as well. But none of our journals so far has author-facing fees, because we don't think it's a good idea, especially not from the start. Also, we are making sure that the interface is easy to use. We are very keen on getting feedback from users, trying to improve all the time. So that's also included in the strategy. Okay, looks nice. I mean, everybody can build a website, right? Or, well, no. We want to talk about, we talked about the usage. Paul showed some lovely figures on what UCL has done so far. We're a little bit smaller than that. However, we do measure usage, and we try to be open about it. We have four journals. Three of them started from very scratch. We had to help the editors commission their first articles. One of them came with a little bit of an archive. But we still managed in sort of a little over a year to help them to get over 3,000 full text views and PDF downloads. So the total for our four journals in full text usage, we have reached over almost 10,000 readers on only 84 articles. That says something about the impact of open access. Even though these are small niche titles, we can still give them a readership, and we see that as a really important thing. And we need to prove this to them, so we need to continue to talk about this. Of course, we should be a little bit cautious talking about usage, because this is not, you know, it's not normalized. We're not sure exactly which user clicked on what, because that's not, the statistics doesn't give us that information, but it says something. And also, it takes 3 to 5 years to get a journal indexed into the Thomson Reuters lists, which of course is something that we would love to do, but from the beginning, we need a little bit more instant feedback than that. And we do track citations as well. We use the Crossref paradigm to do that, so all the journals are connected to Crossref. So we can count citations. It's just not included in impact factors calculations and that sort of thing. So we can still make sure that researchers can prove merit, and then we are working our way slowly into this business. So that's the journals. Cool. But we also do books, because we thought that journals is all good and all that, but it's a different project, it's a long-term project. And we have a lot of humanities and social science researchers at our university, and they might not want to start a journal. However, they want to publish books, and they want to publish open access books. That has been proven from many different angles before. So we do books. They're all open access online with print-on-demand function that we use. Our contract with Ubiquiti Press that handles our services ensures that we also have a print vendor. These books are provided in an online reader, in EPUB, in mobile format, and as a PDF. So this we really give a lot of options depending on the platform the reader comes from. We do both book series and monographs. It depends on the editorial group, what they want to do. Book series has an advantage because we can register them, for example, in Scopus, so we can count citations if that is important for them. These books are structured as not exactly as a journal editorial group, but a little bit closer to that than what a normal publisher would do. So we have a group of researchers. They select and commission the books. They also do the peer review with our help. Ubiquiti Press has built a similar platform to OJS where we can do all the peer reviewing of books. Because that's the a little bit unique feature that we do. We have a two-tiered peer review process. So instead of letting the market decide what we think would sell, we send all book proposals and book manuscripts to external peer reviewers that can give feedback that will hopefully improve the quality of the product. We think that this will give a better home for our authors. So what we help is then to structure these editorial boards to also do follow these scope guidelines that we have put together. So far we work with 8 different groups, but more are coming along. Oftentimes, it's based on a need to publish. Somebody calls us and say, hey, I have this really good book going on. Could you help me? And we say, of course, let's do it. So it's been on a bit of a on-demand service, but we, of course, as we grow, we have to be a little bit more structured than that. And yes, books also costs money. And what we do is to handle and make sure that they have a production process. So the editorial part is one part, but we have a system for that, but then the book also needs to be produced into these neat little formats that people can read. And there is a small charge for that as well. We charge about 3,800 euros for a normal book, about 200 pages, 70,000 words, a few pictures here and there. But every book has an individual price, of course, depending on what it includes. And we also help the editors or the authors to find funding for this. And this also comes from different models. Some institutions do support their editors or authors to publish. We have an author actually looking into crowdfunding at the moment. That's going to be really interesting to see how that works. But there are different ways of doing this. And we hope that our open approach, saying that you do it this way or that way, that helps, that we don't have a set model. It depends on what kind of project we get. We should also add that Stockholm University is government funded, so we can't really favor one subject area for the other, so that's also a political decision to have an open solution to the funding of each project. It depends. But the quality assurance process, the making sure that we put out good research, that is not done by us at the university library or the press. That's done by the researchers, and that's why we think that in part it is them telling the world that this is the kind of research that we think should be done in this area, but also it's a way for younger researchers to learn how to publish, because they will collaborate in these different committees. All our books are also published with a CC BY license, so the author retains their own copyright. We have a non-exclusive right to distribute it. So far it's worked very well. Only one book has chosen a more restrictive CC BY license than the 4.01. And they were afraid that people were going to copy their work. I think it was a collaboration between an American and a British author. Because we don't only publish Swedish authors, absolutely not. So we have no restrictions in that end as well. As long as we can give the book an academic home through our editorial groups, we believe that it should be possible. One important thing is, of course, distribution. So how does people find our books? We have our own platform. It's, of course, Google Scholar Index and all that. But at the same time, it still takes time to get recognition through, for example, registering book series in Scopus Citation Database, things like that. But we also are collaborating with the OAPEN Library, which is an European service collating open access books from the whole of Europe and elsewhere also, I think. And they also provide our books to a larger audience. The more the merrier. But we also sell our print-on-demand books to the biggest vendors. So you can buy our books at Amazon or the biggest Swedish book sellers online. And they go straight to, we send the metadata straight to them. So it's available sort of the same week that we put out the online version. So far, it's gone pretty well. But what about the books then? So how can we say that they are good? Can we say that they are good? I don't know. I wouldn't be able to judge. We have published books in rather niche and small areas, because that's what was where the need was. And the result is this. So this is our online usage per book title so far. And you can also see that small little gray area is the print sales. So yes, we do sell print books, but not to a great extent. And of course, again, usage should be taken with a pinch of salt. And these are rather low figures, of course. We're not producing Scandinavian noir crime literature. Let's leave it at that. But these niche titles have still found an audience that they could never have done if they would have gathered dust in the bookshop at the university campus. Which many of them would, that would be the faith of many of them, because it is a rather a small area, or it's a festschrift or something like that, an anthology over a new subject area that nobody has faith in yet, and that sort of thing. Because there's no proven sales or whatever publishers use to make decisions about publishing. I can also display the total number of full text usage of our books, and that's all four formats, is almost also 2,000 downloads, and I'm very proud of that. We do have some work left to do, because we should be in more databases, but we're working on that. But you see the total print sales is about 90 copies, which is about 5% of the readership that it would have reached. So I find this really interesting. And what we need to do is then to discuss what this means. We also need to wait a few years to see whether or not this literature is cited, but we will do our best to measure that as well. All of the books are also indexed in Crossref, because everything has a DOI. So everything is traceable through Altmetrics tools or any other tools that we use for evaluation. I should also add that it also depends on the kind of book. The one to the very right is Don't Be Quiet, Start a Riot. It's a gender analysis or a collection of works by a famous gender specialist in Sweden within theatre studies. So it's a small area with a super speciality. And in just 3 months, she managed to get 200 downloads, and that's quite a lot for such a niche area. And she's already sold some print-on-demand books as well. And she worked very strategically with social media, telling everybody that, look, my book is out now. And as it is an anthology, a collection of her previous work, we worked quite hard to help her to get the copyrights released from all that material to publish it open access. So that's kind of the work that goes on backstage, but we see now that it helps. Platonic Occasions, the first book we put out, has been out for 18 months and has about almost 600 readers. It is also a very small niche title. It is a conversation about English literature between two very famous researchers. Lovely, but wouldn't have this big of an audience if it weren't for the open access. So really proud of that. Okay. I'm going to start wrapping up now, so hold your breath. The key drivers for our press then, to summarize, I think you will recognize some of it from what Paul was saying. I think we have the same kind of approach. The quality assessment is really important for us. We need to make sure that we put out good stuff. The non-profit approach is really important to us. As I said, we're government funded. It would be extremely complicated for us to make any money at all, any revenue. We do have some kind of, the library doesn't charge for overheads. We see it as a part of the service package to the library, to the university as a whole. But we think this helps us to put the research first and not the money. We don't want market strategies to drive what's being put out. We also want to make sure that it's easy to access these open scholarly communication tools. I don't know why I wrote that. It sounds really pretentious, but you know what I mean. I'm trying to be inclusive here because we don't put any boundaries. We have had discussions about video productions, about more interactive works somewhere in between books and journals. All of that is open to us because we see our job as doing that arrow you saw, the publication support, whatever it may look like. As long as we can do the quality assessment, we're fine. We also want to be a local publishing partner. We think it's really important that people can speak their home language. Sweden is a small country, it's a small language. We also want to make sure that the research we put out has a global reach. Because also with the CC BY license, for example, even if you write in Swedish, it could still be translated into other languages fairly easily. I can also mention that we have published in English, French, German, and then a book with both French, Portuguese, Spanish, and Italian. I didn't proofread that book. Yes. So we want to create an impact and share knowledge. What about the lessons learned then? Well, quite a few in these first 3 years. One is have patience. It will pan out in the end. It takes time to get indexed. It takes time to make a proper book. Don't be perfect, but be strategic. Don't do everything perfect from the beginning, maybe, but allow development, but together with those you work with. Have an open progress, so show all the time how you're doing. Don't work behind closed doors. Talk to people, ask people for input or feedback. Think a little bit outside the book box. We are all very fond of those print books. That's how we learn to read. But these electronic formats have a totally different different approach to them. We can do more things with them. Also, dare to talk about the money. Money is a very sensitive subject within academia, at least in Stockholm or Sweden it is. But dare to talk about it. I would, of course, like to help you. It comes with a little bit of cost, but we also try to give as much as we can back. And we have negotiated a flat fee for you to be able to calculate easily and make plans far in advance, which funding, external funding demands. And also have the respect for the pragmatism of the publishing process. It is a practical approach from researchers. I have this work, I want to put it out, what are you going to do about it? They don't want to get into XML coding and whatnot. That's our job. So what we add then? I think we add this. If we see what we do as a communicative practice, I think we're trying to accelerate that by this openness, the technology, that we're trying to accelerate the conversation that's going on. Because research and innovation is all about talking to people. That's why we are here today as well, to learn from each other, and that's how research works. You read somebody who's a very wise woman, for example, and then you interpret that and say, I build my work on this person's work. And that's how we should make sure it works. That's why the openness is needed. It should be no lock on knowledge. And I think that is all for me. So I'd be happy to take questions now, but I could also answer questions in the hallway, or if you email me, I'm open to anything. Yes, I do have an open inbox as well. Thank you.